Growing up in a funeral home creates a unique relationship with mortality. In Alison Bechdel's world, death wasn't an abstract concept, but a daily reality. The Victorian Gothic house in rural Pennsylvania served as both family residence and business, with embalming rooms downstairs and living quarters above. This unusual arrangement meant young Alison regularly encountered the tools of the mortician's trade and witnessed the steady stream of grieving families passing through their doors. The family nicknamed it Fun Home, with characteristic dark humor that threads throughout Bechdel's childhood. But beneath this literal business of death lay something more complex. The funeral home operated as a perfect metaphor for the family's emotional landscape. Just as corpses are prepared and presented in an idealized form for public viewing, the Bechdels maintained a carefully constructed facade. The viewing rooms, with their heavy drapes and somber lighting, served as stages where families performed their grief, while the preparation room below housed the raw reality of death. The funeral home itself operated as a business of appearances, where the family helped others process grief while unable to address their own emotional truths. Bruce Bechdel lived a life of contradictions. English teacher, funeral director, historic preservationist, and closeted gay man. His obsession with perfecting their Gothic revival home mirrored his carefully constructed facade. He arranged furniture and selected ornate fixtures with the same precision he used in the funeral home, controlling his physical environment while his emotional life remained in turmoil. Literature offered both refuge and expression. As an English teacher, Bruce identified deeply with characters like Fitzgerald's Gatsby, another man living behind a constructed persona. Teaching Joyce's Ulysses, he explored themes of paternity and connection, even as his relationship with his daughter remained strained. Fiction became the language through which he could obliquely express his true self. Bechdel gradually uncovers her father's hidden sexuality through childhood memories, his interest in male students, mysterious visitors, police reports about providing alcohol to minors. These fragments reveal a man living in profound loneliness. While Bruce retreated into secrecy, Alison's journey moved steadily toward authenticity. Signs appeared early. Her fascination with masculine presentation, discomfort with feminine clothing, and identification with male characters. In a pivotal moment, young Alison spots a butch delivery woman in a diner and recognizes her with a surge of joy, an embodiment of a possibility she cannot yet name. At Oberlin in the early 1980s, Alison discovered feminist theory, lesbian literature, and a community where her identity could flourish. Her first sexual experiences brought clarity. "I'd been mistaken about something fundamental," she realizes, finally understanding herself. The memoir's most powerful moment comes when Alison's letter coming out as a lesbian coincides with her mother's revelation about her father's homosexual affairs. This demonic synchronicity, as Bechdel calls it, raises profound questions about identity and inheritance. Did growing up with a closeted gay parent shape her own sexual development? The narrative offers no simple answers, only nuanced exploration. Unable to speak directly about emotions or sexuality, Alison and her father retreated into literature, using books as proxies for unspoken conversations. Bruce's bookshelves, filled with works by Wilde, Proust, and Baldwin, offered a coded way of exploring his sexuality. During a rare moment of connection, college-age Alison and her father discussed Colette's work during a car ride, communicating through literary analysis rather than direct conversation. For young Alison, books provided both escape and recognition. She first encountered terms like lesbian through dictionary definitions. Her childhood diary, meticulously illustrated with "I think" qualifiers and a symbolic notation system, represented her early attempts to create a personal language for her experiences. Bechdel's illustrations emphasize this literary dimension by depicting books as physical objects within panels, from characters reading to bookshelves as background elements. Literature provided both father and daughter with models for understanding their lives. Bruce identified with Fitzgerald's tortured characters, while Alison found recognition in lesbian authors' works. Fun Home eschews chronological order, moving fluidly between different periods of Bechdel's life to mirror memory's associative nature. The memoir opens with a childhood scene of Allison playing airplane with her father before shifting to his funeral and back to her youth. The narrative weaves between college years and early childhood, creating meaningful connections between different periods. Bechdel's discovery of her lesbian identity in college links to earlier memories of gender nonconformity, which gain new meaning in hindsight. The story circles key moments, especially her father's death, examining them from multiple perspectives. Bechdel marks these temporal shifts through distinct visual styles. Childhood scenes appear more cartoonish, while adult sequences are rendered more realistically. She often layers time periods within single panels, placing adult narration over childhood images to show how mature perspective reframes early experiences. The Bechdel family operated through a system of silences, with crucial truths left unspoken. Bruce and Helen Bechdel's marriage was one of mutual accommodation and careful distance. Helen, who gave up her acting dreams, channeled her frustrations into academics and community theater. The illustrations often show her physically separated from her husband, in different rooms, pursuing parallel activities. Bruce related to his children primarily through books and household tasks rather than direct affection. Young Allison assists with home projects, her father's attention fixed on the house rather than her. Family members communicated through references to literary characters and historical figures rather than discussing emotions directly, creating an intellectually rich but emotionally evasive family language. This communication pattern partly stemmed from Bruce's concealed sexuality, creating a pervasive culture of secrecy. It also reflected broader cultural forces, mid-20th century American emotional reticence, particularly in rural Pennsylvania, and the challenges faced by queer individuals of that era. Fun Home represents Bechdel's attempt to understand her family history, serving as a posthumous conversation with her father that was impossible during his life. Through art and writing, she works toward reconciliation with both Bruce and her past. Bechdel approached her history with scholarly precision, reconstructing scenes from photographs, letters, diaries, and court documents. Yet she acknowledges the project's limitations, memory's fallibility, incomplete documentation, and the silence of the dead. She includes moments of uncertainty, questioning her recollections and offering multiple interpretations of events. The memoir's conclusion revisits the childhood airplane game, her father lifting her with his feet, which becomes a metaphor for their relationship, precarious balance, momentary connection, simultaneous support, and distance. In the tricky reverse narration that impels our entwined stories, "He was there to catch me when I leapt," she writes. Their divergent paths illustrate the memoir's theme. Bruce's life in secrecy ends tragically, while his daughter finds her voice through authenticity. The narrative suggests that truth-telling, though painful, offers possibilities that concealment denies. Through art, private pain transforms into something meaningful and beautiful.